Hello. Hey, Lavinia Spencer. How are you?
Hi, Tess. I'm fine.
We got Lavinia Spencer, the CEO of Brick City Pets. Yeah, Brick City. That's what New York is known for. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm a New York native. And my understanding is that it's actually after the cobblestone streets that were in Newark. The cobblestone streets in Newark are red brick.
Yes.
So that's what they look like. They look like red brick. And I think, don't hold me to it, but I think that's where we get Brick City.
So when did you open?
I opened Juneteenth, 2022. June the 19th, 2022.
Wow. You're new.
Very new.
Okay.
Very new.
Your career in pet kind of sort of started after high school.
Well, yeah, I started.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, my story, life is like, it's 360. Like, it's just a complete circle. So when I came out of high school, my first major in college was veterinary medicine. I went to Sony Coble School, upstate New York. We're talking like 1987. And I wanted to work with horses. I wanted to be a vet. I've always been a pet lover. My biggest loves have been dogs and horses. So I wanted to become a vet.
So then what changed that you went into a world of, I guess, called the hamster wheel?
The hamster wheel.
Corporate America. Tell me what happened that transition took place.
Sure. So I come from a family of six children and my two parents. And we grew up in Newark. I was raised in Newark. My oldest sister at the time was going to, she was at Michigan State, and my brothers were out. And my parents, they just couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford college anymore. So I came out. After 2 years, I came out and had to start to pay back the student loans. And that put me into corporate America because I had to pay back the student loans. So it was really like a dream deferred. It was always there. There's never been a point in my life where I have not had a dog. I have always had a dog. But I got caught on, you know, the hamster wheel or the golden handcuffs. And it took me about 30 years to get out of it. 30 years.
Well, 30 years. Are you really out of it yet?
No, not completely. I'm not completely out of it. You know, you want me to tell you the whole story? Because it's really, because it's interesting.
You opened up a retail store completely different than what you do in the corporate world that hamster wheel, right?
Yeah.
The impact. And then you shifted because so many things happened to you. Yeah. I want to know the story.
Yeah. So I didn't have a choice. Like it was just, and when I say you always have choices. You always have options. You always have choices. They may not be right there in front of you. You may not see them right away, but you always have choices, right? So with me, I got caught in that hamster wheel. I was making good money. I mean, I was making good money well into six figures, like way, I'm talking, I was making pretty good money. And it afforded me a life that I liked. I liked to travel. I liked the cars. I liked the houses. And it was always just me. I didn't have any children. So all that income was disposable to me. And, you know, I was fortunate that I did not live beyond my means. And I got to a certain point where, you know, I said, you know what? Well, let's say all I really need to live on is $60,000. So we're talking about many, many years ago. So all I really need to live on is $60,000. And everything else, I was able to invest in real estate or do whatever. And then I just got burned out. I got to a certain point in life where all the money in the world couldn't make me happy. You know, I just wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with what I was doing. And this was about 2018. I was living in this big house, four bedrooms, three stories, two baths, and it was just me and a dog. And I started, you know, looking at what I was going to do to get off of this hamster wheel. So the first thing I did was I sold my home. I downsized to a studio apartment.
Turned to another?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's that. But I like that. To me, it's a challenge. It's just like, yo, can I do this? Can I do this? So, yeah, around 2019, I'm still in corporate America and my work week jumped from 40 hours a week to 80 hours a week. That was the end of 2019. 2020, my body started rebelling and I wasn't paying attention. So what was happening was the stress was eating me up. It was making me sick and I kept developing these different conditions. And instead of me stopping to take a moment to see what was going on in my life, why I was getting so sick, you know, I didn't do that. So I ended up in the hospital with blood clots in my lungs. And when I got out of the hospital, in 20, yeah, I'm losing track of the year. It was 2021. I got out of the hospital and when I came home to recover, I just woke up one day and I was like, I cannot live the rest of my life like this. Like, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. What is going to make Lavinia happy? It was that clear. I will not live the rest of my life. And it wasn't like suicidal. It was just like, yeah, nah, I'm not living the rest of my life like this. I want to be happy. What's going to make me happy? So the very first thing I did was I got a therapist and I started to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was just, I was still formulating it. This is around summer 2021. And I'm like, okay, you know, you've always loved pets and, you know, what are you going to do with animals? So this is how, to me, the universe and God and whatever you believe in, a higher power works. So while I was just rediscovering myself, it was just so weird. I was on the elevator at the building that I was living in, and I was still dealing with some stress and you could see it. I was wearing it. Like you could really see it on me. And I step on this elevator and this woman looks at me and she says, she didn't know me. I didn't know her. She said, how can I help you? She was just like, what's wrong? She said, you know, yeah, it was that obvious. And I told her, this strange woman, never met her. I'm taking my dog out. And I, you know, she's just like, you know, what can I do to help you? Like, you just look like you're having a rough time. And I'm like, oh, I hate my job. You know, my body is sick. I'm stressed. And she was like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to work with pets. And it just so happened that this woman was a professor at Rutgers Business. Mm-hmm. Her name is Wyla Eason. She is the creator of an action figure named Sunman. So she had not only the education and the assets and the, you know, a path for me, she had actually done it. She was an entrepreneur. So she took my name, she took my number, and she and I started communicating. That was around June, July, 2021. August, 2021, I did my LLC. And June, 2022, I opened Brick City Pets. Yeah, it fell into place. And it was very easy. Not easy as far as the mechanics of it, but it was just swimming with the stream. Like it was just, I didn't force myself to do anything. Opening the store, you know, making the contacts, taking the classes, it was very easy to me. And what I've learned is that when things are that easy or things are right for me, I don't have to force myself to do it. I'm swimming with the stream, so to speak. When it's something that's not in alignment with what I want and who I am, it feels like I'm swimming against the current and it takes that much more effort. So that's what I kind of use as my lodestar. That's how I guide myself. If I'm forcing myself to do it too much, I have to analyze and see why. Why is it so hard for me to do this? To see whether or not this is something that is in alignment with who I am and what I'm trying to achieve. If I hadn't taken this leap of faith, I probably would have ended up back in the hospital because what I was doing was making me sick. The stress was making me sick. It had taken over my life and I just had to just put the brakes on and like, okay, let's reevaluate here and what's important. Do you still, you know, do you want all the money or do you want to be happy? But if I drop dead tomorrow, the money means nothing. It means nothing, but I want to be able to say at the end of my days that I exhausted this life. That I did what made me happy. I don't want to leave anything on the tape. I want to exhaust it all. And that's, you know, what led to really Brick City Pets. It's like, why not? Why not? So what? You're 54. Yeah. So what? You never had a business. Why not? Like, let's just do it.
Good job. Thank you. What an odd meeting in an elevator. I mean, it was almost like Angela was standing there. I don't mean to sound like a a good down.
No, but it was. That's why, that, like, for me, everything just kind of, it just clicked. It just really clicked. I mean, even now, I still see where things fell into place that I'm aware of now that I can appreciate, that when it happened, I did not appreciate it. Like, even where I'm located, it was just...
I love where you're located.
Yeah, it was, I've been very, very blessed. I have been very blessed and very fortunate. I put in a lot of hard work, though. I mean, it does come with work. It does come with work, but, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I love in a good location. And, you know, I love my customers. I love the dogs and the cats that come and see me. So, you know, I'm loving life.
You're kind of still on the hamster wheel. You're still working at your corporate job.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a choice that you made? Or is it?
It is. It is a choice. It is a choice right now. So, yes. And that's why I said, like, even now I can appreciate things that happened that at the time I couldn't appreciate. So I was ready to walk. I was just like, yo, I'm done with corporate America, and I was ready to quit. But one of the conditions that I developed is I have a chronic blood cancer. It's not terminal. It's a chronic blood cancer, and the medicine is extremely expensive. It's just like, oh my God, like, it's just extremely expensive. So when I went, I was out on disability for a while because I was sick. And when I got off of disability, I went back to work, and I was ready to hand in my papers. But it didn't work out that way. It was just kind of weird. It was just like, you know what? Let's just, one, you have to pay for this medicine. This medicine is expensive. And two, you have to fund this small business. Because right. most small businesses don't get into the black till about 3 years, if you're lucky. So I need funds to pay for that.
You know, so,
yeah, right. So you know, it's not, you know, it take a minute for a business to go into a black. In most cases, some people hit it, you know, right out of the park, but most people don't. And I'm one of them. You know, I'm only just, it'll be 2 years this coming June. So I'm still a very new store. So I didn't quit. Long story short, I didn't quit. And now I can appreciate that I didn't, because this is helping me maintain my store. And the other thing is that when I was doing my self-evaluations and I was trying to figure out what made me happy, the realization that it was that I was not managing the stress. It wasn't so much the job. It was how I was handling the job and the stress. I had to own that. I had to be accountable of what I let affect me. And just that realization and that light switch helped me put everything into perspective and to make sure that I do not let the stress or corporate America become or run me or become the priority in my life. I have to be the priority. My well-being has to be the priority, not corporate America.
So do you have that balance now? Are you at ease with
it? It's a work in progress. I'm definitely way better, but you know, I'm human. So, you know, some days are good and some days are bad, but overall, the priority and the focus, way better than what it was. I manage it a lot better than I used to. I think if I wasn't able to manage it, I would probably, and I would have to give it up, right? Because I was just so sick. I was so physically sick, spiritually.
You'd have to give what up? Which one would you give up?
Oh, corporate America. If I couldn't manage it, I would have to give it up. Yeah, I would have to give it up.
When you started working on the store, getting it open, planning it out, what were your thoughts and expectations of what it was going to be like? And where are you now with those thoughts? How do you feel about what you were thinking about when you first started?
So when I first started, it was, you know, the goal was I wanted a better food, right? Because I have English Bulldogs. The English Bulldogs and Tory. You need deep pockets to take care of English Bulldog. So the my mission and my primary goals for Brick City Pit were to provide better options to this community as far as feeding their dogs, education, right? Because most people don't know. You know, they go out to the store and, you know, they just pick up whatever's on the shelf.
they really don't know what they're feeding their dog. So it was better options. It was education, providing a service to the community. And also, I think the drive, what was really, what still drives this is that I want to show people that look like me, that fit my demographic. You know, 54-year-old woman, Black woman, changing careers at this age, that it can, and have a, having a chronic illness, that you can do this. Like, you can do this, right? I want people in this community, or people that feel like they're trapped, to understand that they have options. You always have options. You just have to sit down and think about it and choose to pursue it. So that drives a lot of this. Like, my success is success for everyone. I have to succeed because I have to show other people that this can be done. So now, visually, it's really weird. Visually, I have on my phone, I have an image of what I wanted my store to look like on my phone. And my store looks like that. And this is not where I started. I actually started in the basement. But I already have the image.
That's where your grooming area is.
Yes, that's where the grooming area is. So that came, that vision, my vision board, that's what it is. It's my, my vision board is on my phone. So that came true. So the vision, this vision board, I actually have to change it because I'm already there. I still have some ways to go. There's still some things that I want to do as far as community services. I started something called Pause and Relax, where people could come in and play with the dog because it helps you de-stress. You know, it releases endorphins. It releases endorphins, right?
They're playing with dogs.
Yep. So I want to do that. Yeah.
And your store actually looks like a living room. I walk in there and I want to just chill out. You know,
and that's intentional.
I just totally want to relax and chill, grab a cup of coffee and hang out and talk with you.
It's intentional. I wanted to be an experience. I get so many, I get more people that come in here to talk than people that come in here to shop. People come in, I probably got about 10 chairs in here, 2 bean bags in the back. We've had a movie night here. Tomorrow is Taco Tuesday. But you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm 100% okay with it. I've had people come in here, drop on the floor and cry. Like, did they feel like this is a safe place for them? I'm still working on managing my boundaries. But if somebody comes to me and they're upset and they need someone to talk to, or somebody to listen, and they feel like this is their safe place, I can't say no to that.
So in being in the pet industry, is it meeting your expectations where you are now?
Is it meeting my expectations?
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't think I had any expectations. Okay. Like, as far as, I really didn't. This was something I just had to do. Like, so I didn't have any expectation that people were going to flock to me. I didn't have any expectation that I would make a certain amount of money. I did have the expectation that I would be successful, but then success is defined by me, right? It's not necessarily monetarily. For me, it's about my well-being, my happiness. As far as like foot traffic, dollar signs, you know, working with, well, that did shock me. I didn't have any expectations, though.
What shocked you?
Huh? What shocked me? The distributors. The distributors shocked me. The distributors really shocked me. So with the distributors, especially for small shops like myself, where they have, you have to order a certain amount of food, dollar-wise, in order for you to get a delivery.
Yeah.
So that works against, one, a new business, and it works against a small shop because no one distributor carries everything. So one distributor may have something that you need. Another one may have something that you need. So you have to get the minimum over there, which means you got to find stuff to order to get what you want. And then the same thing over here. So you end up spending more money than you really want to spend. Like, if I just need 2 brands, I just want to go to one spot and get my 2 brands. But instead, I have to go to 2 separate spots, and these 2 separate spots have 2 different. So that shocked me. That really shocked me. I thought it would have been one, you know, one stop shop, but it's not.
No, and it really, you have to really think about the product you want to carry and the choices you make with the brands you bring in. And then when I walked into your store, I said, hey, Victor's recalled. Take everything off the shelves.
Right? Yep. Yes.
And that there was a reason because.
Yeah, there was a reason. Yeah. No, no. So it was. No, then. So I'm very particular with what I carry. Like I'm anal. I follow SZA Thick Stems list. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I start. That's where I start. That's not the final.
And Victor's on her list.
No, no, no. So let me tell you about
Victor. Is that a brand that you're the community and price?
No, it's a brand. I think it was one. It was a brand. One customer requested it. And I told him, I said, I don't like this brand. It doesn't cut my list. And she was like, that's the part of balancing the business. Right? Balancing the business part of it.
Sure.
So it was one customer. So she was like, Lavinia, she's like, you know, if you get it, I'll buy it from you. I said, okay. And literally, I got it and they recalled it. And I was just like, so when I put it out there, I know it ended up being two customers that were buying it from me. I disposed of it. I took your advice, right? And I'm watching and I'm listening. And I only had one. It was brown rice and something. Beef and brown rice is the one I had. I didn't have anything in storage or nothing. It was for the customer. So it wasn't a total loss for me. But
it could be recalled. It doesn't mean.
Yes, anything could be recalled.
It could be recalled. I mean, you know.
It's just the best quality, though. It's just like it just isn't. It's not the best quality. I was just like, really? Like, you can get something else that's better quality.
But actually, you have to work with your customers. And it's really hard to switch them. Sometimes you have to get in to be able to get them in so you can get them moving in a different direction and provide them guidance. It's a relationship building process.
It is. And that's why I do a lot of education. Even on my Instagram page, when people call into the store, you know, I talk to them and I find out what's going on, what you're feeding your pet or whatever, because you have to establish that trust. I'll give out samples. I'll open a bag and I'll keep that bag on display and I'll hand it out a sample when I'm trying to get people to switch over or when I'm trying to introduce them to, you know, better foods. And in this community down here, they've never had these options. They're not used to raw. They're not used to freeze dried. They're not used to some of these brands in here. They've never seen this stuff. So convincing them to try something else, it does take work. It does take work, but so far so good. And even for the ones that, like I have one customer, the one that wanted the Victor. So when I told her, I was like, yeah, you know, after the recall. So she went to another brand and I said, okay, yeah, that's a little bit better. I said, make sure you're adding some fresh stuff to it, which I tell all my customers that feed kibble. All my customers that feed kibble, I'm like, it's kibble. Like, I don't care how much you pay for it, it's kibble. This is highly processed food. So please make sure that you add something to it. What I hear in the community too is that a lot of people, a lot of pet store owners that are doing similar to me, mm-hmm. like boutique-ish, the better quality feeds, that we can tend to be a little snobbish, right?
Oh,
we can tend to be. It's not fair. It's not fair. Not everybody can afford. Like I've got one brand in here where it's a 5-pound bag. It's $130. Everybody can't afford that. Most people can't afford that, right?
$130 for a 5-pound bag. I'm like, oh my God, who can afford that?
Right. So anyhow, so what I do is, that's why I like education. I had some people in here the other night and they were talking. I said, well, what are you eating? And they're like, oh, we eat chicken and beef and fish. I'm like, well, chuck some of that over there to the dog. I said, you don't even have to cook it. I said, no seasoning. I said, just take a little piece of it and put it on the kibble. And it makes the kibble that much better. But educating people like that, you know, they'll come back to me either to try another brand or they'll come back to me to get something else because I've established that relationship of trust with it.
Not the snobbery.
Not the snobbery, yeah. We can't look down. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I didn't know until I got the English Bulldog. I was feeding my previous dog's crap until I got the English Bulldog. So everybody's at different levels of, you know, what they know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Where do you want to be next year this time?
I want my nutrition certification.
I want that. My big and bodacious goal. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to say it because then I'm going to put it out there. I have a very big and bodacious goal. It has not been done yet. It has not been. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'll text it to you. I'm not going to say it. But it's
when I'm not recording, you can tell me.
I'll text it to you. But I want to expand.
I would like another store. Mm-hmm. I actually would like another store.
Just meeting you a couple of times, I absolutely thought you would say that today.
Yeah.
I just came back from a trip. I actually just came back from
a scouting trip.
So I have learned some things, which is how all life experiences should be, right?
This time next year, my online needs to be online. I'm still working through some kinks with that, but my e-commerce needs to be up and running. I need to make sure that I have delivery in place. And then the second location that I'm looking at is, I think it's going to do better than Newark. It's not in Newark. It's actually out of state. And I think it's going to do better than Newark. I actually think it's going to do better because the demographics are there. The community is there. The gentrification that's going on in the city is there. It's just ripe for the picking. Like I go down there, like, about twice a year. And this last time I was like, you know what? I got to do this. So hope in 2024 this year, I'll be opening up. I'm putting it out there. I'll be opening up with a second location.
Well, that's exciting. Are you going to be handling everything or are you going to bring people on board?
Of course, I need to bring people on. Yeah, of course. There's a gentleman that I'm talking to already in the second location. He owns a business already, but he doesn't know the pet industry. And I told him, I said, you don't need to know the pet industry. I know the pet industry. I just need somebody to handle the business side of it. So he'll be there. Here in Newark, I have Tyler, and you met Tyler. I love Tyler. Tyler is, he feeds into my mission to inspire and to help somebody. This was a young person that, you know, I saw what I believed to be someone that needed an opportunity to shine. And so I stole her from Nike. Tyler was working at Nike. And I'm like, don't you want to work with me? And he said, yes. So, which I love that. I really love that. You know, that feeds the soul to help somebody. That really feeds the soul. So Tyler's doing a great job there.
What about grooming? How's it going with grooming? And
grooming!
Not that everyone can hear it. That's grooming. Struggle.
Yeah, it's
new.
Yeah, grooming is... So I didn't want to do grooming. I didn't want to do grooming because I'm not a groomer. So I didn't have that kind of control that I like to have, right? I become dependent on somebody else. But the community just asked for it. They were just like, you got to do grooming. You know, I had so many, even before I opened, they were like, oh, you're going to groom, you're going to groom. And I'm like, I said, okay. So then this goes into what I said earlier. Are you swimming with the stream or are you swimming against it? So grooming for me was swimming against the stream. But I did it because as a business person, I am here to serve the community. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with grooming. Like, I'm really not sure. Grooming makes a lot of money. Grooming makes, because it's a service. It does make a lot of money. But I don't have the kind of control over it. I'm very dependent on the groomers, right? So that's Achilles' heel for me.
What kind of control are you looking for?
What kind of control?
Setting the schedule, right? The quality of the work. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Maybe that's the OCD side of me.
Yeah. Those are things you can learn. Those are things
I know. But if this is pushing, but like I said, like this is really, so this is how I think of it. So it's a service, right? And that's all it is. I don't need inventory for it. It's just a service. Now,
pretty major service, though.
It's a major service, but I can always replace that service with something else.
If I do nutritional coaching, I can replace grooming with nutritional coaching.
Like, you're like, no, not as much money. But for me, like, well, it's not the money. It's really not the money.
No, I didn't say that. You said it.
I know. No, I can see it in your face. I'm looking at your face.
Giving up on grooming, I think grooming is such an important part of animal welfare.
Oh, it is.
Pets need to be properly groomed, and having that really is critical. So if it's an aspect of the community that's missing and your customers are asking for it, the flow would be to find the path that fits
what for it.
The needs are. If you're uncomfortable because you don't have control and you think you don't know, and you don't know nutrition yet either, but you're going to learn it, but you think it's easier because you can talk about it.
So, because
you think you can, but it's such a big picture. You can do all of it, Lou. You know, I mean, look how much you've done so far. Think about where you went and where you wound up.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's funny. So, like I said, I'm very blessed and very fortunate. I just believe in positive thinking, and people call it manifestation or whatever. I call it faith, but you can call it manifesting, right? So just yesterday, guess what I signed up for?
What?
Grooming class.
Congratulations.
I signed up for a grooming class. It came across my timeline. I saw it, and I just signed up for it. But it's still not my calling. Like it's still like I'm forcing myself to do this. Like I'm totally forcing myself to do this.
You having the knowledge base will help you make better decisions and hiring groomers.
But it's hard to find a groomer out here. It's hard. Oh yeah, my goodness. It's hard. It's hard. So I've only been open like a year and a half. I've had three different groomers in here. It is very hard to find a groomer that is business oriented, right? The groomers that I've had in here are not business savvy people, so to speak. They're very creative and they're good groomers. But when it comes down to the business side of things and taking actions to support and create business, I haven't found one yet that understands that.
For a groomer to do when you say that, what are your expectations? Are you sharing that with them? If they don't have the capacity and their comfort zone is actually being hands-on with the animal, that's a great resource to have. And you handle the business side of it.
Understand. And that's fine. So my expectation from a groomer is that you want to come to work, that you understand. You're laughing, but this is what we think. This is what, no, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked.
I have 17 years. I want to throw up every day.
Oh my goodness. Ideally, what I would like to find is a mature groomer, someone older, right? The younger groomers that I've run across,
that called reverse ageism.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but I'm sorry. It's what I'm saying.
The older groomers have a hard time holding the dog. You have a hard time.
Well, I'm a smaller shop. Okay. Right? I'm a smaller shop. I don't kennel dogs here. It's one-on-one, one dog in, one dog out. They're not stacked up. The maximum dogs I've ever had in here is probably six, and that's six throughout the day. So with an older groomer, I'm not asking them to churn out 10, 20 dogs a day. I'm not, because I like the personal touch. I like the one-on-one. Having a dog's kennel is stressful on the dogs. You increase the risk of disease and the whole nine, right? That's a side benefit of Brick City Pets. I don't want the killing. So an older groomer that understands business, that's more mature, is what ideally I want. The younger groomers, I'm finding that some of that entitlement where the customers have to change their schedule to suit them. Like I've had to have this discussion, like, look, customers are not going to change their schedule to suit you. This is a service industry. We are here to service them. We're here to serve this community. They're not going to change their schedule because you want to come in early. You want me to call a customer and ask them to come in early because you want to come in early? But to me, that blows my mind. Like, what are we talking about?
I think that
But those are the kind of conversations that I have. And I think it's just you that they're young and hopefully eventually they'll get there. But that's why grooming is just like,
you know, stressful, man. It's stressful.
It is stressful. It is very, I don't even come in. I don't expect them to, I do the marketing for it. I run the website for it. I do the scheduling for it.
I just want you to be there. Do you have the ability to do a self-launch at least 1 or 2 days a week?
No.
No?
No, no. Yep. I mean, wait a second. Do I have the ability? Yes, I have the ability. Wow. Would I do it? No. No, I would not do it. I don't. Because then one, I would have to have somebody down there watching them. Two, my dogs are down there. Right. So the grooming is in the basement. And my dogs come with me. So I don't trust anyone in and out around my dogs like that, right? God forbid they leave the door open. The English Bulldog, you know, is a desirable breed. They get snatched a lot. My other dog, Sophie, is a basset who's kind of nippy. God forbid they let her loose and she bites somebody. So I just don't want that kind of liability. So no, I would never do so. Not this location. A different location where it's on the same floor, the same level, then yes, I could see that happen. But on this location, no.
Well, congratulations. You're starting grooming school.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? But yeah, I started it.
Got it.
I am working on it.
Do you think the African-American community is represented in the pet industry?
Yeah, no. You know the answer to that.
I do know the answer. I mean,
of course not.
Yeah, I know. No. That's why I always push to have African Americans on my show for a reason. You know what? Because I think
we're not represented at all.
Ducks. So, serious.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're not represented at all. It's sad, you know. But well, so part of it is they're not aware. This community is not aware. Now they're becoming more aware in the grooming side of it, right? You'll see a lot of people of color doing grooming, but the pet supply stores, no, we're not represented at all. We are not. Maybe 1%. I know it's probably way less than 1%. Is it a problem? Yes, of course it's a problem. That's part of my goal too, right? Is to show them that, yes, we can do this. We can do this. I'm not running into any biases. One, because they don't know that I'm Black. Like, you would never guess that I'm Black based on my name. You would not think that I'm Black because Black people don't own pet supply stores, right? So they're not going to, you know, they would.
You think people are even thinking about that?
Nope. Not in the pet industry. Not for pet supply stores. Nope. The only giveaway really is when I tell them it's Newark. That's the only giveaway is when I say Newark. That's like, when I initially talked to the distributors, yeah, they don't know. It's been a shock to some of them. I can't remember which distributor it was, but it was like three people that came in and it was two white men and one white woman. And that's when I was in the basement. And you could just kind of see the shock. But just like, oh, this woman doesn't know what she's doing. She's got to be out of business in a year. You know,
yeah,
but
there is a lot of judgment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I'm hanging on there, you know. I'm okay.
Well, I know you're okay.
Yeah.
I want others to have the same opportunities that you do and know that it's available and it's possible.
Possible. It's available and it's possible. And that's the key thing is that they need to know that it's possible. You have to know it's possible. I had a discussion with Tyler in here the other day, and we were talking about how people in inner city, especially, and I want to talk about my demographic. I'm going to talk about Black people.
Yeah.
Inner city Black people is that a lot of times they only know what's in a 3-mile radius. So their ceiling is very low. They don't know all the possibilities that are out there. So me being a pet supply store owner in Newark is new for them to see. right? Here you have a pet supply store that's owned by a Black woman downtown Newark. And I wanted to expose as many people as possible to this industry. I go and speak to, like, whenever they have something down here, I speak. I speak on panels. I spoke on this panel for NJPAC. I spoke on the panel for Equal Space. I did another podcast not too long ago. And it's just bringing awareness to, you know, to our community that this can be done, that this is an option for you. When I talk to the younger people that come in here, because I've given jobs to the younger people that come in here, and it's just to give them exposure to it. Like, here you go, $50. Go, you know, hand out some flyers for me, or come help me do some inventory, stock some shelves, or just so they can get a glimpse at a business that's owned by a Black person and a pet supply store that's owned by a Black person is running it, so that it widens their horizon, you know, more than what they see in that 3-mile radius. You know, that's important to me.
So what's next? You're opening up another location. You're
going to
become a new grooming, not that you're going to become a groomer. You're going to learn grooming. Not that you're going to do it. I doubt you're going to do it.
No, I'm not going to be. I'm going to learn it.
I'm going to get certified in pet nutrition. Talked about that and what to do, and I'll be happy to support you in any way. You got a lot going on.
Yeah, man. I am that my big bodacious goal. Like, so what's next really is, so the next store, the grooming, the canine nutrition.
Only canine, one night, you know, feline?
No, feline too. Feline too, of course. Yeah. Dogs and cats. Okay. Dogs and cats. And then the next one is so huge. It's
don't tell
so
me.
Huge.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me. No, don't tell me.
It's hard. I can't tell you. I'm going to tell you.
We're going to say goodbye soon. And then
it's so huge. You're going to be like, it's so huge, and it just spins around in my head. I've already taken steps towards it, but it's one of those things where I've got to pace myself. I can't get consumed by it, but I've already taken steps towards it. So my goal really is like 2025, 2026 for this one.
Okay.
So the next step, 2024, end of 2024, second location, and then 2025 and 2026. It's this big, audacious goal. And then also, too, I want to own a building. I don't want to rent. I want to own a building.
In Newark? You want to, in Newark?
I was poking around in this space because now I rent 2 floors in this building that I'm in. And then there was a third floor available. And I'm like, it says there's no way in hell I'm going to rent out a third floor. If I'm going to rent out a third floor, I need to buy the building. So, you know, that's there, too. That's in my head. And I have my feelers out. And you know how you poke the bear and you just stick your toe in the water? You feel it out. So I'm still feeling that out. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, we'll see on that one. Yeah, that's not a necessity right now. But if the opportunity presents itself and it's a good location, it's a good sized building, then I would probably jump on it.
Okay. So, Lou, you and I have to reconnect. Make sure this to what we're going to be connected anyway, because you and I are going to be talking. Yeah. But that big, audacious goal I want to hear about in the next podcast we do together. And I bet you anything, a couple of these publications out there, these industry publications will reach out to you because they will feel that they're not representing the African-American community after this.
Yeah, well, as you can see, I'm personable. I like to talk. I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. I am here to serve. This is the remainder of my life is to serve, whether it's my community, whether it's African-Americans, whether it's women, whether it's 54-year-old people that are middle-aged, because I'm not middle-aged anymore, but people that are looking like this is one of the big demographics are older people that are changing their careers, right? A lot of people, that fear, right? Being afraid to take that leap. Yes, yes. I'm like, yo, you can break through that. Let's break through it, you know? Let's break through it. So, yeah.
Put up those barriers. It's all on us.
It's all on us. It's all on us. And we create them, right? In order for us to break through them, first, we have to acknowledge it. But so many people are just so afraid of the unknown and afraid of failure, right? A lot of people are afraid of failure, but...
The unknown.
I mean, it's the unknown. And failure is an opportunity for growth. Like, what are things? I've tried things in the store that haven't worked. I'm like, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else. Right. So as long as I can keep trying, then I'm okay. The things that fail, they fail. Okay. What did I learn? Okay. It didn't work. Okay. So let's just try something else. Life goes on.
Yeah. But you're saying that people need to be introspective, and not everyone thinks with depth. Many people think on the surface.
Yes.
And even with pets and pet care and health and well-being, they think on the surface. That's why they don't do well with their inventory management. They keep going the way the majority goes, even though they have an opportunity to bring about positive change and put good information out there.
Yeah, it comes down to a dollar, right? Like one of the biggest, the biggest gripes I have, garlic, right? Garlic. And you want to hear something weird? No, so I have the pet clinic here one Sunday out of the month, right? So this is a vet, not a holistic vet. This is a regular vet, right? So when they first came in, it ruffled my feathers. I was just like, and I opened my space to them. I don't charge them because this is for a community that needs services. So they reached out to me and they said, look, we need some place to do this. We might be able to give you a little bit of money. I was like, no, I said, come on. I said, I got the space. You're going to be here one Sunday. No big deal. Come on. So anyhow, so when they come in here and they see the kind of stuff that I carry, they started questioning me. And I was like, you're not going to educate me on this. I'm not going to take anything away from a vet. My dogs go to a vet, right? It's not a problem. But if I tell you that I feed my dog garlic, don't tell me that dark garlic is going to kill my dogs. I do my due diligence and I do my homework. But they were just like, oh, you better not be telling people this. And I was like, and I take it, whatever, you know, this is my pet supply store, right? This is my pet supply store. And I carry what I carry based on my experience and my education. Well, not my education, but just my reading and me educating myself, right? But just their snobbishness towards what I carry, towards raw. Like they were like, I'm like. But it was interesting. It was just so funny to me because they had their nose in the air to me. They were like, what are you doing for fleas? And I was like, garlic. I use garlic for fleas. And I was like, okay.
Throw in some diatomaceous earth while you're at it and at them and let them really freak out.
I know, right? Oh, my God. I have it in here. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got some things in here. And I'm like,
oh my God, just throw it all in the air and start juggling.
They probably have aren't dead. No, but I love them though. They're providing a great service. We've been doing it for a year. So they give me my space and I give them their space. So we have a pretty good
relationship. Find the middle ground and
we found the middle ground.
And you're serving a community. I want to know about that big audacious goal, so I'm going to stop recording and I'm going there because I want to hear about it. Hi, everybody. Bye. I'm trying to turn the damn thing off. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.